You pee up, she said. Someone taking a rise out of him. It's a great shame for them, whoever he is.
Indeed it is, Mr. Bloom said. She took back the card, sighing. And now he's going around to Mr. Menton's office. He's going to take action for £10,000, he says. She folded the card into her untidy bag and snapped the catch. Same blue serge dress she had 2 years ago, the nap bleaching. Seen its best days. Wispish hair over her ears. And that dowdy toque. Three old grapes to take the harm out of it. Shabby genteel. She used to be a tasty dresser. Lines round her mouth. Only a year or so older than Molly. See the eye that woman gave her passing? Cruel. The unfair sex. He looked still at her, holding back behind his look his discontent. Pungent mock turtle, oxtail, mulligatawny. I'm hungry, too. Flakes of pastry on the gusset of her dress. Daub of sugary flour stuck to her cheek. Rhubarb tart with liberal fillings, rich fruit interior. Josie Pell, that was. In Luke Doyle's long ago, Dolphin's Bar and the Charades. U.P. Up. Change the subject.
Do you ever see anything of Mrs. Beaufoy?
Mr. Bloom asked.
Mina Purefoy, she said.
Philip Beaufoy, I was thinking. Playgoers Club. Machem often thinks of the masterstroke. Did I pull the chain? Yes. The last act.
Yes. I just called to ask on the way in. Is she over it? She's in the lying-in hospital in Holler Street. Dr. Horn got her in. She's 3 days bad now.
Oh, Mr. Bloom said. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes, Mrs. Breen said. And a house full of kids at home. It's a very stiff birth, the nurse told me.
Oh, Mr. Bloom said. His heavy, pitying gaze absorbed her news. His tongue clacked in compassion.
I'm sorry to hear that, he said. Poor thing. 3 days. That's terrible for her.
Mrs. Breen nodded.
She was taken bad on the Tuesday.
Mr. Bloom touched her funny bone gently, warning her, mind, let this man pass. A bony form strode along the curbstone from the river, staring with a rapt gaze into the sunlight through a heavy string glass. Tight as a skull piece, a tiny hat gripped his head. From his arm, a folded dust coat, a stick and an umbrella dangled to his stride.
Watch him, Mr. Bloom said. He always walks outside the lamppost. Watch. Who is he, if it's a fair question?
Mrs. Breen asked. Is he Dotty?
His name is Cashel Boyle O'Connor Fitzmaurice Tisdall Farrell, Mr. Bloom said, smiling. Watch. He has enough of them, she said. Dennis will be like that one of these days.
She broke off suddenly.
There he is, she said. I must go after him. Goodbye. Remember me to Molly, won't you? I will,
Mr. Bloom said. He watched her dodge through passes towards the shop fronts. Dennis Breen, in skimpy frock coat and blue canvas shoes, shuffled out of Harrison's, hugging two heavy tomes to his ribs. Blown in from the bay, like old times. He suffered her to overtake him without surprise and thrust his dull grey beard towards her, his loose jaw wagging as he spoke earnestly.
Miss Sugar, office chump.
Mr. Bloom walked on again easily, seeing ahead of him in sunlight the tight skull piece, the dangling stick, umbrella, dust coat. Going the 2 days. Watch him, out he goes again. One way of getting on in the world. And that other old mosey lunatic and those duds. Hard time she must have with him. You pee. Up. I'll take my oath. That's Alf Bergen or Richie Goulding. Wrote it for a lark in the Scotch House, I bet anything. Round to Menton's office. His oyster eyes staring at the postcard. Be a feast for the gods. He passed the Irish Times. There might be other answers lying there. Like to answer them all. Good system for criminals. Code. At their lunch now. Clark with the glasses there doesn't know me. Oh, leave them there to simmer. Enough bother wading through 44 of them. Wanted smart lady typist to aid gentlemen in literary work. I called you naughty darling because I do not like that other world. Please tell me what is the meaning. Please tell me what perfume does your wife. Tell me who made the world. The way they spring those questions on you. And the other one, Lizzie Twigg. My literary efforts have had the good fortune to meet with the approval of the eminent poet A.E., Mr. Geo Russell. No time to do her hair drinking sloppy tea with a book of poetry. Best paper by long chalks for a small ad. Got the provinces now. Cook in general, ex-cuisine, housemaid kept. Wanted live man for spirit counter. Resp girl R.C. wishes to hear of post in fruit or pork shop. James Carlyle made that. 6.5% dividend. Made a big deal on Coates' shares. Get canny. Cunny old Scotch hunks. All the toady news. Our gracious and popular vice-reign. Bought the Irish field now. Lady Mountcashel has quite recovered after her confinement and rode up with the Ward Union staghounds at the enlargement yesterday at Rathoath. Unusable fox. Pot hunters, too. Fear injects juices, make it tender enough for them. Riding astride. Sit her horse like a man. Weight-carrying huntress. No side-saddle or pillion for her, not for Joe. First to the meet and in at the death. Strong as a brood mare, some of those horsey women. Swagger around livery stables, toss off a glass of brandy neat while he'd say knife. That one at the grove on the car, wish, wish. Stone wall or five-barred gate, put her mount to it. Think that pug-nosed driver did it out of spite. Who was this she was like? Oh, yes, Mrs. Miriam Dandrade, that sold me her old wraps and black underclothes in the Shelburne Hotel. Divorced Spanish-American. Didn't take a feather out of her, my handling them, as if I was her clothes horse. Saw her in the vice-regal party when Stubbs, the park ranger, got me in, with Whelan of the Express. Scavenging what the quality left. High tea. Mayonnaise I poured on the plums, thinking it was custard. Her ears ought to have tingled for a few weeks after. Want to be a bull for her. Born courtesan. No nursery work for her, thanks. Poor Mrs. Purefoy. Methodist husband. Method in his madness. Saffron bun and milk and soda lunch at the educational dairy, eating with a stopwatch 32 chews to the minute. Still, his mutton chop whiskers grew. Supposed to be well connected. Theodore's cousin in Dublin Castle. One Tony relative in every family. Hardy annuals he presents her with. Saw him out of the Three Jolly Topers marching along bareheaded, and his eldest boy carrying one in a market net. The squallers. Poor thing. Then having to give the breast year after year all hours of the night. Selfish those TTs are. Dog in the manger. Only one lump of sugar in my tea, if you please. He stood at Fleet Street, crossing. Luncheon interval. A sixpenny at Rose? Must look up that ad in the National Library. An eightpenny in the Burton. Better. On my way. He walked on past Bolton's Westmoreland House. Tea, tea, tea. I forgot to tap Tom Kernan. 3 days. Imagine groaning on a bed with a vinegared handkerchief around her forehead, her belly swollen out. Phew. Dreadful, simply. Child's head too big. Forceps doubled up inside her, trying to put its way out blindly, groping for the way out. Kill me, that would. Lucky Molly got over hers, likely. They ought to invent something to stop that. Life with hard labour. Twilight sleep idea. Queen Victoria was given that. 9 she had. A good lair. Old woman that lived in the shoe, she had so many children. Suppose he was consumptive. Time someone thought about it, instead of gassing about that, what was it, the pensive bosom of the silver effulgence. Flapdoodle to feed fools on. They could easily have big establishments. Whole thing quite painless. Out of all the taxes, give every child born 5 quid at compound interest up to 21. 5% is 100 shillings and 5 tarsen pounds, multiplied by 20, decimal system. Encourage people to put by money, save 110 and a bit. 21 years. Want to work it out on paper. Come to a tidy sum. More than you think. Not stillborn, of course. They're not even registered. Trouble for nothing. Funny sight, 2 of them together, their bellies out. Molly and Mrs. Moisel. Mother's meeting. Phthisis retires for the time being, then returns. How flat they look all of a sudden. Peaceful eyes, weight off their minds. Old Mrs. Thornton was a jolly old soul. All my babies, she said. The spoon of pap in her mouth before she fed them. Oh, that's yum-yum. Got her hand crushed by old Tom Wall's son. His first bow to the public. Head like a prize pumpkin. Snuffy Dr. Murren. People knocking them up at all hours. For God's sake, doctor, wife in her throes. Then keep them waiting months for their fee. 2 attendants on your wife. No gratitude in people. Humane doctors, most of them. Before the huge high door of the Irish House of Parliament, a flock of pigeons flew. Their little frolic after meals. Who will we do it on? I picked the fellow in black. Here goes. Here's good luck. Must be thrilling from the air. Apjohn, myself, and Owen Goldberg. Up in the trees near Goose Green, playing the monkeys. Mackerel, they call me. A squad of constables debouched from College Street, marching in Indian file, goose step. Food-heated faces, sweating helmets, patting their truncheons. After their feed with a good load of fat soup under their belts, policeman's lot is oft a happy one. They split up into groups and scattered, saluting towards their beats. Let out to graze. Best moment to attack one in pudding time. Punch in his dinner. A squad of others, marching irregularly, rounded Trinity railings, making for the station. Bound for their troughs, prepare to receive cavalry, prepare to receive soup. He crossed under Tommy Moore's roguish finger. They did right to put him up over a urinal, meeting at the waters. Ought to be places for women, running into cake shops. Settle me hat straight. There is not in this wide world a valley, great song of Julia Morkan's. Kept her voice up to the very last. Pupil of Michael Balfe's, wasn't she? He gazed after the last broad tunic. Nasty customers to tackle. Jack Power could a tale unfold. Father a G-man. If a fella gave them trouble being lagged, they let him have it hot and heavy in the Bridewell. Can't blame them, after all, with the job they have, especially the young hornies. That horse policeman the day Joe Chamberlain was given his degree in Trinity, he got a run for his money. My word, he did. His horse's hooves clattering after us down Abbey Street. Look, I had the presence of mind to dive into Manning's, or I was souped. He did come a wallop, by George. Must have cracked his skull on the cobblestones. I oughtn't to have got myself swept along with those medicals and the Trinity jibs in their mortar boards, looking for trouble. Still, I got to know that young Dixon who dressed that sting for me in the matter, and now he's in Hollis Street, where Mrs. Purefoy. Wheels within wheels. Police whistle in my ears still. All skedaddled. Why, he fixed on me. Give me in charge. Right here it began. Up the boars, three cheers for De West. We'll hang Joe Chamberlain on a sour apple tree. Silly billies. Mop of young cubs yelling their guts out. Vinegar Hill, the Butter Exchange Band. Few years' time, half of them magistrates and civil servants. War comes on. Into the army, helter-skelter. Same fellas used to, where they're on the scaffold high. Never know who you're talking to. Connie Keller, he has Harvey Duff in his eye. Like that Peter or Dennis or James Carey that blew the gaff on the Invincibles. Member of the corporation, too. Egging raw youths on to get in the know. All the time drawing Secret Service pay from the castle. Drop him like a hot potato. Why those plainclothes men are always courting slaveys. Easily twig a man used to uniform. Square pushing up against a back door. Mauler a bit. Then the next thing on the menu. And who was the gentleman does be visiting there? Was the young master saying anything? Peeping Tom through the keyhole. Decoy duck. Hot-blooded young student fooling around her fat arms ironing. Are those yours, Mary? I don't wear such things. Stop, or I'll tell the missus on you. Out half the night. There are great times coming, Mary. Wait till you see. I get along with your great times coming. Barmaids, too. Tobacco shop girls. James Stevens' idea was the best. He knew them. Circles of 10, so that a fella couldn't round on more than his own ring. Sinn Féin. Back out to get the knife. Hidden hand, stay in the firing squad. Turnkey's daughter got him out of Richmond, off from Lusk, putting up in the Buckingham Palace Hotel, under their very noses. Garibaldi. You must have a certain fascination. Parnell. Arthur Griffith is a square-headed fellow, but he has no go in him for the mob. Want to gas about our lovely land, gammon and spinach, Dublin Bakery Company's tea room, debating societies. That republicanism is the best form of government. That the language question should take precedence of the economic question. Have your daughters inveigling them to your house. Stuff them up with meat and drink. Michaelmas goose. Here's a good lump of thyme seasoning under the apron for you. Have another quart of goose grease before it gets too cold. Half-fed enthusiasts. Penny roll and a walk with the band. No grace for the carver. The thought that the other chap pays. Best sauce in the world. Make themselves thoroughly at home. Shove us over those apricots, meaning peaches. The not far distant day. Home rule sun rising up in the northwest. His smile faded as he walked. A heavy cloud hiding the sun slowly, shadowing Trinity's surly front. Trams passed one another, ingoing, outgoing, clanging. Useless words. Things go on same, day after day. Squads of police marching out, back, trams, in, out. Those two loonies mooching about. Dignam carted off. Mina Purefoy, swollen belly on a bed, groaning to have a child tugged out of her. One born every second somewhere. Other dying every second. Since I fed the birds 5 minutes, 300 kicked the bucket. Other 300 born, washing the blood off. All are washed in the blood of the lamb, bawling, maaah. Cityful passing away. Other cityful coming, passing away too. Other coming on, passing on. Houses, lines of houses, streets, miles of pavements, piled up bricks, stones. Changing hands, this owner, that. Landlord never dies, they say. Other steps into his shoes when he gets his notice to quit. They buy the place up with gold, and still they have all the gold. Swindling it somewhere. Piled up in cities, worn away, age after age. Pyramids and sand. built on bread and onions, slaves, Chinese wall, Babylon, big stones left, round towers, rest, rubble, sprawling suburbs, jerry-built, Kerwin's mushroom houses, built of breeze, shelter for the night. No one is anything. This is the very worst hour of the day. Vitality, dull, gloomy. Hate this hour. Feel as if I had been eaten and spewed. Provost's house, the Reverend Dr. Salmon, tin salmon, well tinned in there. Wouldn't live in it if they paid me. Hope they have liver and bacon today. Nature abhors a vacuum. The sun freed itself slowly and lit glints of light among the silverware in Walter Sexton's window, opposite by which John Howard Parnell passed, unseeing. There he is, the brother. Image of him. Haunting face. Now that's a coincidence. Of course, hundreds of times you think of a person and don't meet him, like a man walking in his sleep. No one knows him. Must be a corporation meeting today. They say he never put on the city marshal's uniform since he got the job. Charlie Bulger used to come out on his high horse, cocked hat, puffed, powdered and shaved. Look at the woebegone walk of him. Eaten a bad egg. Poached eyes on ghost. I have a pain. Great man's brother. His brother's brother. He'd look nice on the city charger. Drop into the DBC probably for his coffee. Play chess there. His brother used men as pawns. Let them all go to pot. Afraid to pass a remark on him. Freeze them up with that eye of his. That's the fascination. The name. All a bit touched. Mad Fanny and his other sister, Mrs. Dickinson, driving about with scarlet harness, bolt upright like Surgeon McCardle. Still, David Sheehy beat him for South Meath. Apply for the Chiltern Hundreds and retire into public life. The Patriots' banquet, eating orange peels in the park. Simon Dedalus said when they put him in Parliament that Parnell would come back from the grave and lead him out of the House of Commons by the arm. Of the two-headed octopus, one of whose heads is the head upon which the ends of the world have forgotten to come, while the other speaks with a Scotch accent, the tentacles. They passed from behind Mr. Bloom along the curbstone, beard and bicycle, young woman. And there he is, too. Now that's really a coincidence, second time. Coming events cast their shadows before, with the approval of the eminent poet Mr. Geo Russell. That might be Lizzie Twigg with him. A.E., what does that mean? Initials, perhaps. Albert, Edward, Arthur, Edmund, Alphonsus, Eb, Ed, L, Esquire. What was he saying? The ends of the world with a Scotch accent. Tentacles, octopus, something occult, symbolism, holding forth. She's taking it all in, not saying a word, to aid gentlemen in literary work. His eyes followed the high figure in homespun, beard, and bicycle. A listening woman at his side. Coming from the vegetarian. Only wedgie bubbles and fruit. Don't eat a beefsteak. If you do, the eyes of that cow will pursue you through all eternity. They say it's healthier. Wind and watery, though. Tried it. Keep you on the run all day. Bad as a bloater. Dreams all night. What do they call that thing they gave me? Nut steak. Nutarians. Fruitarians. To give you the idea, you're eating rum steak. Absurd. Salty, too. They cook in soda. Keep you sitting by the tap all night. Her stockings are loose over her ankles. I detest that. So tasteless. Those literary ethereal people, they're all dreamy, cloudy, symbolistic. Aesthetes, they are. I wouldn't be surprised if it was the kind of food you see produces the like waves of the brain, the poetical. For example, one of those policemen sweating Irish stew into their shirts. You couldn't squeeze a line of poetry out of him. Don't know what poetry is, even. Must be in a certain mood. The dreamy, cloudy gull waves o'er the waters dull. He crossed at Nassau Street corner and stood before the window of Yates and Son, pricing the field glasses. Or will I drop into old Harris's and have a chat with young Sinclair? Well-mannered fellow. Probably at his lunch. Must get those old glasses of mine set right. Gert's lenses, 6 guineas. Germans making their way everywhere. Sell on easy terms to capture trade. Undercutting. My chance on a pair in the Railway Loss Property Office. Astonishing the things people leave behind them in trains and cloakrooms. What do they be thinking about? Women, too. Incredible. Last year, travelling to Ennis, had to pick up that farmer's daughter's bag and hand it to her at Limerick Junction. Unclaimed money, too. There's a little watch up there on the roof of the bank to test those glasses by. His lids came down on the lower rims of his arides. Can't see it. If you imagine it's there, you can almost see it. Can't see it. He faced about and standing between the awnings, held out his right hand at arm's length towards the sun.
Wanted to try that often.
Yes,
completely.
The tip of his little finger blotted out the sun's disk. Must be the focus where the rays cross. If I had black glasses.
Interesting.
There was a lot of talk about those sunspots when we were in Lombard Street West. Terrific explosions they are. There'll be a total eclipse this year. Autumn sometime.
Now that I come to think of it, that ball falls at Greenwich time. It's the clock is worked by an electric wire from Dunsink.
Must go out there some first Saturday of the month.
If I could get an introduction to Professor Jolly or learn up something about his family, that would do.
Man always feels complimented. Flattery were least expected. Nobleman proud to be descended from some king's mistress. His foremother, lay it on with a trowel. Cap in hand goes through the land. Not go in and blurt out what you know. You're not to, what's parallax? Show this gentleman the door.
Ah.
His hand fell again to his side.
Never know anything about it.
Waste of time. Gas balls spinning about, crossing each other, passing. Same old ding-dong always. Gas, then solid, then whirl, then cold, then dead shell drifting around. Frozen rock, like that pineapple rock. The moon.
Must be a new moon, she said.
I believe there is.
He went on by La Maison Claire.
Wait, the full moon was the night we were... Sunday fortnight exactly. There is a new moon.
Walking down by the Talca. Not bad for a Fairview moon.
She was humming, the young May moon, she's beaming love. He, other side of her, elbow, arm, he, glowworm's lamp is gleaming love.
Touch, fingers, asking, answer, yes. Stop, stop. If it was, it was. Must.
Mr. Bloom, quick breathing, slowly a-walking, past Adam Court. With a keep-quiet relief, his eyes took note.
This is street here. Middle of the day, Bob Doran's bottle shoulders.
On his annual bend, McCoy said.
They drink in order to say or do something, or cherche la femme, up at the coombe with chummies and streetwalkers, and then the rest of the year as sober as a judge.
Yes, thought so. Sloping into the Empire.
Gone.
Plain soda would do him good.
Where Pat Kinsella had his harp theatre, before Whitbread ran the Queen's.
Broth of a boy. Dion Boucicault business with his harvest moon face and a pokey bonnet. Three pretty maids from school.
How time flies, eh?
Showing long red pantaloons under his skirts. Drinkers drinking, laughed, spluttering, their drink against their breath. More power, Pat.
Coarse red.
Fun for drunkards. Guffaw and smoke. Take off the white hat.
His parboiled eyes. Where is he now?
Beggar somewhere.
The harp that once did starve us all.
I was happier then.
Or was that I? Or am I now I?
28 I was. She 23 when we left Lombard Street West.
Something changed.
Could never like it again after Rudy.
Can't bring back time. Like holding water in your hand.
Would you go back to then? Just beginning then, would you?
Are you not happy in your home, you poor little naughty boy? Wants to sew on buttons for me.
I must answer. Write it in the library.
Grafton Street, gay with housed awnings, lured his senses. Muslin prints, silk, dames and dowagers, jingle of harnesses, hoof thuds, low ringing in the baking causeway.
6 feet that woman has in the white stockings. Hope the rain mucks them up on her.
Country bred chaw bacon, all the beef to the heels were in. Always gives a woman clumsy feet. Molly looks out at Plum.
He passed, dallying, the windows of Brown Thomas, silk mercers, cascades of ribbons, flimsy china silks. A tilted urn poured from its mouth a flood of blood-hued poplin, lustrous blood.
The Huguenots brought that here.
La cause est sainte, ta-da, ta-da.
Great chorus, that. Ta-da. Must be washed in rainwater. Maya beer.
Ta-da. Bum, bum, bum.
Pincushions. I'm a long time threatening to buy one. Stick them all over the place.
Needles in window curtains.
He bared slightly his left forearm. Scrape. Nearly gone. Not today, anyhow.
Must go back for that lotion.
For her birthday, perhaps. June, July, August, September 8th. Nearly 3 months off.
Then she mightn't like it.
Women won't pick up pins. Say it cuts love.
Gleaming silks. Petticoats on slim brass rails. Rays of flat silk stockings.
Useless to go back. Had to be.
Tell me all.
High voices. Sun-warm silk. Jingling harnesses.
All for a woman, home and houses, silk web, silver, rich fruits, spicy from Jaffa, Agendathna time, wealth of the world. A warm human plumpness settled down on his brain. His brain yielded. Perfume of embraces all him assailed. With hungered flesh obscurely, he mutely craved to adore. Duke Street, here we are, must eat, the Burton, feel better then. He turned Combridge's corner, still pursued, jingling hoof-thuds, perfume bodies warm, full, all kissed, yielded, in deep summer fields, tangled, pressed grass, in trickling hallways of tenements, along sofas, creaking beds. Jack, love, darling, kiss me, Reggie, my boy, love. His heart astir, he pushed in the door of the Burton restaurant. Stink gripped his trembling breath. Pungent meat juice, slop of greens. See the animals feed. Man, man, man. Perched on high stools by the bar, hat shoved back, at the tables calling for more bread, no charge, swilling, wolfing gobfuls of sloppy food, their eyes bulging, wiping wetted moustaches. A pallid, suet-faced young man polished his tumbler, knife, fork, and spoon with his napkin. New set of microbes. A man with an infant's sauce-stained napkin tucked round him shoveled gurgling soup down his gullet. A man spitting back on his plate, half-masticated gristle, no teeth to chew-chew-chew it, chomp-chop from the grill, bolting to get it over. Sad boozer's eyes. Bitten off more than he can chew. Am I like that? See yourselves as others see us. Hungry man is an angry man. Working tooth and jaw. Don't. Oh, a bone. That last pagan king of Ireland, Cormac, in the school poem, choked himself at Sletty southward of the Boyne. Wonder what he was eating. Something galoptious. St. Patrick converted him to Christianity. Couldn't swallow it all, however. Roast beef and cabbage. One stew. Smells of men. His gorge rose. Spat on sawdust. Sweetish, warmish cigarette smoke. Reek of plug. Spilt beer. Men's beery piss. The stale of ferment. Couldn't eat a morsel here. Fella sharpening knife and fork to eat all before him. Old chap picking his tootles. Slight spasm. Full. Chewing the cud, before and after, grace after meals, look on this picture, then on that, scoffing up stew gravy with sopping sippets of bread. Lick it off the plate, man. Get out of this. He gazed round the stooled and tabled eaters, tightening the wings of his nose. Two stouts here, one corned in cabbage. That fellow ramming a knife full of cabbage down as if his life depended on it. Good stroke. Give me the fidgets to look. Safer to eat from his three hands, tear it limb from limb. Second nature to him. Born with a silver knife in his mouth. That's witty, I think. Or no, silver means born rich. Born with a knife. But then the illusion is lost. An ill-girt server gathered sticky, clattering plates. Rock, the bailiff, standing at the bar, blew the foamy crown from his tankard. Well up, it splashed yellow near his boot. A diner, knife and fork upright, elbows on table, ready for a second helping, stared towards the food lift across a stained square of newspaper. Other chap telling him something with his mouth full. Sympathetic listener. Table talk. I'm not from open Yuntrista Bank. I'm lunchtime. Huh? Did you, Fate? Mr. Bloom raised two fingers doubtfully to his lips. His eyes said, not here. Don't see him. Out. I hate dirty eaters. He backed towards the door. Get a light snack in Davy Burns. Stop gap. Keep me going. Had a good breakfast.
Roast and mashed here. Point of stout.
Every fella for his own, tooth and nail, gulp, grub, gulp, gob stuff. He came out into clearer air and turned back towards Grafton Street. Eat or be eaten, kill, kill. Suppose that communal kitchen, years to come perhaps, all trotting down with porringers and tommy cans to be filled, devour contents in the street. John Howard Parnell, example, the Probus of Trinity, every mother's son. Don't talk of your Probus and Probus of Trinity. Women and children, cabmen, priests, parsons, field marshals, archbishops, from Aylesbury Road, Clyde Road, artisans' dwellings, North Dublin Union, Lord Mayor in his gingerbread coach, old queen in a bath chair. My plate's empty. After you with your incorporated drinking cup. Like Sir Philip Crampton's fountain. Rub off the microbes with your handkerchief. Next chap rubs on a new batch with his. Father O'Flynn would make hairs of them all. Have rows all the same. All for number one. Children fighting for the scrapings of the pot. Want a soup pot as big as the Phoenix Park. Harpooning flitches and hindquarters out of it. Hate people all around you. City Arms Hotel, table d'hote, she called it. Soup, joint and sweet. Never know whose thoughts you're chewing. Then who'd wash up all the plates and forks? Might be all feeding on tabloids that time. Teeth getting worse and worse.
After all, there's a lot in that vegetarian.
Fine flavour of things from the earth. Garlic, of course. It stinks. Italian organ grinders, crisp of onions, mushrooms, truffles. Pain to animal, too. Pluck and draw fowl. Wretched brutes there at the cattle market, waiting for the poleaxe to split their skulls open.
Mew.
Poor trembling calves.
Meh.
Staggering bob, bubble and squeak. Butcher's buckets, wobble lights. Give us our brisket off the hook. Plup. Raw head and bloody bones. Flayed, glass-eyed sheep hung from their haunches. Sheep snouts, bloody papered, snivelling nose jam on sawdust. Top and lashes going out. Don't maul them paces, young one. Hot, fresh blood they prescribe for decline. Blood always needed, insidious, lick it up, smoking hot, thick, sugary, famished ghosts. I'm hungry. He entered Davy Burns, moral pub, he doesn't chat, stands a drink now and then, but in leap year once in four. Cashed a cheque for me once. What will I take now? He drew his watch. Let me see now. Shandy Gaff?
Hello, Bloom!
Nosey Flynn said from his nook.
Hello, Flynn. How's things? Tip-top.
Let me see. I'll take a glass of burgundy and let me see. Sardines on the shelves. Almost taste them by looking. Sandwich. Ham and his descendants. Mustard and bread there. Potted meats. What is home without plum trees? Potted meat. Incomplete. What a stupid ad. Under the obituary notices they stuck it. All up a plum tree. Dignam's potted meat. Cannibal's wood with lemon and rice. White missionary too salty, like pickled pork. Expect the chief consumes the parts of honour. Ought to be tough from exercise. His wives in a row to watch the effect. There was a right royal old nigger, who ate or something the somethings of the Reverend Mr. McTrigger. With it an abode of bliss. Lord knows what concoction. Coals, mouldy tripes, windpipes faked and minced up. Puzzle find the meat, kosher, no meat and milk together. Hygiene, that was what they call now. Yom Kippur. Fast spring cleaning of inside. Peace and more depended on some fella's digestion. Religions. Christmas turkeys and geese. Slaughter of innocents. Eat, drink and be merry. Then casual wars full after. Heads bandaged. Cheese digests all but itself. Mighty cheese.
Have you a cheese sandwich?
Yes, sir. Like a few olives, too, if they had them. Italian, I prefer. Good glass of burgundy. Take away that. Lubricate. A nice salad, cool as a cucumber. Tom Kernan can dress, puts gusto into it. Pure olive oil. Millie served me that cutlet with a sprig of parsley. Take one Spanish onion. God made food. The devil that cooks. Devil crab.
Wife, well?
Quite well, thanks. A cheese sandwich, then. Gorgonzola, have you?
Yes, sir.
Nosey Flynn sipped his grog.
Doing any singing those times?
Look at his mouth. Could whistle in his own ear. Flap ears to match. Music. Knows as much about it as my coachman. Still better tell him. Does no harm. Free ad.
She's engaged for a big tour, end of this month. You may have heard, perhaps. No? Oh, that's the style. Who's getting it up?
The curate served.
How much is that?
70, sir. Thank you, sir. Mr. Bloom cut his sandwich into slender strips. Mr. McTrigger, easier than the dreamy, creamy stuff, his 500 wives had the time of their lives.
Mustard, sir.
Thank you. He studied on each lifted strip yellow blobs. Their lives.
I have it. It grew bigger and bigger and bigger.
Getting it up, he said. Well, it's like a company idea, you see, part shares and part profits.
Aye, now I remember,
Nosey Flynn said, putting his hand in his pocket to scratch his groin.
Who is this was telling me? Isn't Blazes Boiling mixed up in it?
A warm shock of air, heat of mustard, hawked on Mr. Broom's heart. He raised his eyes and met the stare of a bilious clock. 2. Pub clock 5 minutes fast. Time going on. Hands moving. 2. Not yet. His midriff yearned then upward, sank within him, yearned more longly, longingly. Wine. He smelled sipped the cordial juice, and bidding his throat strongly to speed it, set his wine glass delicately down.
Yes, he said. He's the organizer, in point of fact.
No fear, no brains. Nosey Flynn snuffled and scratched, Flea having a good square meal.
He had a good slice of luck, Jack Mooney was telling me, over that boxing match Milo Kyo won against the soldier in the Portobello barracks. By God, he had that little kipper down in the County Carlow, he was telling me.
Hope that dewdrop doesn't come down into his glass.
No,
snuffled it up.
For near a month, man, before it came off. Sucking duck eggs, by God, till further orders. Keep him off the booze, see? Oh, by God, Blazes is a hairy chap.
Davy Byrne came forward from behind bar, in tuck-stitched shirt sleeves, cleaning his lips with two wipes of his napkin. Herring's blush. Whose smile upon each feature plays with such and such replete. Too much fat on the parsnips.
And here's himself and pepper on him,
Nosey Flynn said.
Can you give us a good one for the gold cup?
I'm off that, Mr. Flynn, Davy Byrne answered. I never put anything on a horse.
You're right there,
Nosey Flynn said. Mr. Bloom ate his strips of sandwich, fresh, clean bread, with relish of disgust, pungent mustard, the feety savour of green cheese. Sips of his wine soothed his palate. Not logwood, that. Tastes fuller this weather, with the chill off. Nice quiet bar. Nice piece of wood in that counter. Nicely planed, like the way it curves there.
I wouldn't do anything at all in that line, Davy Byrne said. It ruined many a man the same horses.
Vintner sweepstake, license for the sale of beer, wine, and spirits for consumption on the premises. Heads I win, tails you lose.
True for you, Nosey Flynn said. Unless you're in the know, there's no straight sport going now. Lenehan gets some good ones. He's given Sceptre today. Zinfandel's the favourite. Lord Howard de Walden's won at Epsom. Marnie Cannon is riding him. I could have got 7-1 against St. Amant's a fortnight before.
That's so, Davy Byrne said. He went towards the window, and taking up the petty cash book, scanned its pages.
I could fade, Nosey Flynn said, snuffling. That was a rare bit of horse flesh. St. Frusquin was her sire. She won in a thunderstorm, Rothschild's filly, with Wadden in her ears, blue jacket and yellow cap, bad luck to Big Ben Dollard and his John O'Gaunt. He put me off it, aye.
He drank resignedly from his tumbler, running his fingers down the flutes.
Aye,
he said, sighing. Mr. Bloom, champing, standing, looked upon his sigh. Nosey numbskull. Will I tell him that horse Lenehan? He knows already. Better let him forget. Go and lose more, fooling his money. Dewdrop coming down again. Cold nose he'd have kissing a woman. Still they might like. Prickly beards they like. Dogs' cold noses. Old Mrs. Reardon with the rumbling stomach Skye Terrier in the City Arms Hotel. Molly fondling him in her lap.
Oh, the big doggy bowsy wowsy wowsy.
Wine-soaked and softened rolled pith of bread, mustard, a moment, mawkish cheese. Nice wine it is. Taste a better because I'm not thirsty. Bath, of course, does that. Just a bite or two. Then about 6 o'clock I can... Six. Six. Time will be gone then. She... Mild fire of wine kindled his veins. I wanted that badly. Felt so off-colour. His eyes, unhungrily, saw shelves of tins, sardines, gaudy lobster's claws, all the odd things people pick up for food. Out of shells, periwinkles with a pen, off trees, snails out of the ground, the French eat, out of the sea with bait on a hook. Silly fish learn nothing in 1,000 years. If you didn't know, risky putting anything into your mouth. Poisonous berries, Johnny McGorry's. Roundness you think good. Gaudy colour warns you off. One fella told another and so on. Try it on the dog first, led on by the smell or the look. Tempting fruit, ice cones, cream, instinct. Orange groves, for instance, need artificial irrigation. Bleibtreustrasse.
Yes, but what about oysters?
Unsightly, like a clot of phlegm. Filthy shells. Devil to open them to.
Who found them out?
Garbage sewage they feed on. Fizz and Red Bank oysters. Effect on the sexual. Aphrodis. He was in the Red Bank this morning. Was he oyster at old fish at table? Perhaps he young flesh in bed? No. June has no oysters. But there are people like tainted game, jugged hair, first catcher hair, Chinese eating eggs 50 years old, blue and green again. Dinner of 30 courses, each dish harmless, might mix inside. Idea for a poison mystery. That Archduke Leopold, was it? No, yes. Or was it Otto, one of those Habsburgs? Or who was it used to eat the scruff of his own head?
Cheapest lunch in town.
Of course, aristocrats. Then the others copy, to be in the fashion. Millie, too. Rock oil and flour. Raw pastry, I like myself. Half the catch of oyster they throw back into the sea to keep up the price. Cheap. No one would buy. Caviar, do the grand. Hock in green glasses. Swell blowout. Lady this. Powdered bosom pearls. The elite. Creme de la creme. They want special dishes to pretend they're hermit with a platter of pulse, keep down the stings of the flesh. Know me, come eat with me. Royal sturgeon. High sheriff Coffee, the butcher. Write 2 venisons of the forest from his ex. Send him back the half of a cow. Spread I saw down in the master of the rolls kitchen area. White-hatted chef like a rabbi. Combustible duck. Curly cabbage a la Duchesse de Parme.
Just as well to write it on the bill of fare, so you can know what you've eaten. Too many drugs spoil the broth. I know it myself. Dosing it with Edward's desiccated soup. Geese stuffed silly for them. Lobsters boiled alive. Do partake some ptarmigan. Wouldn't mind being a waiter in a swell hotel. Tips. Evening dress. Half-naked ladies. May I tempt you to a little more filleted lemon sole, Miss Doobiedad? Yes, Doobiedad, and she did be that. You good on name, I expect that. A Miss Doobiedad lived in Killiney, I remember. Du de la, French. Still, it's the same fish perhaps old Mickey Hanlon of Moore Street ripped the guts out of, making money hand over fist, fingering fish's gills. Can't write his name on a check. Think he was painting the landscape with his mouth twisted.
Michael H.
Ignorant as a kish of brogues, worth £50,000. Stuck on the pane, two flies buzzed. Stuck. Glowing wine on his palate lingered, swallowed. Crushing in the winepress grapes of Burgundy. Sun's heat it is. Seems to a secret touch telling me memory. Touched, his sense moistened, remembered. Hidden under wild ferns on Hoth. Below us, bay, sleeping sky. No sound. The sky. The bay purple by the Lion's Head. Green by Drumleck. Yellow-green towards Sutton. Fields of undersea, the Lion's faint brown in grass, buried cities. Pillowed on my coat, she had her hair. Earwigs in the heather scrub, my hand under her nape. You'll toss me all. Oh, wonder. Cool, soft with ointments, her hand touched me, caressed. Her eyes upon me did not turn away. Ravished over her I lay. Full lips, full open, kissed her mouth. Yum. Softly she gave me in my mouth the seed cake, warm and chewed. Mawkish pulp her mouth had mumbled, sweet and sour, with spittle. Joy. I ate it. Joy. Young life. Her lips that gave me, pouting, soft, warm, sticky gum jelly lips. Flowers her eyes were. Take me. Willing eyes. Pebbles fell. She lay still. A goat. No one. High on Ben Hoth, rhododendrons, a nanny goat walking sure-footed, dropping currants. Screened under ferns, she laughed, warm-folded. Wildly I lay on her, kissed her, eyes, her lips, her stretched neck, beating, woman's breasts full in her blouse of nun's veiling, fat nipples upright. Hot, I tongued her. She kissed me. I was kissed. All yielding, she tossed my hair. Kissed. She kissed me. Me. And me now. Stuck. The flies buzzed. His downcast eyes followed the silent veining of the oaken slab. Beauty. It curves. Curves our beauty. Shapely goddesses, Venus, Juno. Curves the world admires. Can see them, Library Museum. Standing in the round hall, naked goddesses. Aids to digestion. They don't care what man looks, all to see. Never speaking, I mean to say, to fellas like Flynn. Suppose she did Pygmalion and Galatea. What would she say first? Mortal. Put you in your proper place. Quaffing nectar at mess with gods, golden dishes, all ambrosial. Not like a tanner lunch we have. Boiled mutton, carrots and turnips, bottle of allsop. Nectar. Imagine it. Drinking electricity. God's food. Lovely forms of woman, sculpt Junonian, immortal lovely. And we, stuffing food in one hole and out behind. Food, child, blood, dung, earth, food. Have to feed it like stoking an engine. They have no... Never looked. I look today. Keeper won't see. Band down, let something fall. See if she... Dribbling, a quiet message from his bladder. Came to go, to do, not to do, there to do. A man and ready, he drained his glass to the lees, and walked. To men, too, they gave themselves, manly conscious, lay with men lovers, a youth enjoyed her, to the yard. When the sound of his boots had ceased, Davy Byrne said from his book, "What is this he is? Isn't he in the insurance line?"
"He sounded that long ago," Nosey Flynn said. "He does canvassing for the Freeman."
"I know him well to see," Davy Byrne said. "Is he in trouble?"
"Trouble?"
Nosey Flynn said.
"Not that I heard of. Why?"
"I noticed he was in mourning.
Was he?
Nosey Flynn said.
So he was, Faith. I asked him how was all at home. You're right, by God. So he was.
I never broach the subject, Davy Byrne said humanely, if I see a gentleman is in trouble that way. It only brings it up fresh in their minds.
It's not the wife, anyhow,
Nosey Flynn said.
I met him the day before yesterday, and he coming out with that Irish farm dairy John Wise Nolan's wife has in Henry Street, with a jar of cream in his hand, taking it home to his better half. She's well nourished, I tell you. Plovers on toast.
And is he doing for the free man? Davy Byrne said. Nosey Flynn pursed his lips.
He doesn't buy cream on the ads he picks up. He can make bacon of that.
How so? Davy Byrne asked, coming from his book. Nosey Flynn made swift passes in the air with juggling fingers. He winked.
He's in the craft, he said.
Do you tell me so? Davy Byrne said.
Very much so, Nosey Flynn said. Ancient free and accepted order. Light, life and love, by God. They give him a leg up. I was told that by a well, I won't say who.
Is that a fact?
Oh, it's a fine order, Nosey Flynn said. They stick to you when you're down. I know a fella was trying to get into it, but they're as close as dammit. By God, they did right to keep the women out of it.
Davy Byrne smiled, yawned, nodded, all in one.
There was one woman, Nosey Flynn said, hid herself in a clock to find out what they do be doing, but be damned, but they smelt her out and swore her in on the spot, a master mason. That was one of the St. Ledgers of Donnerail.
Davy Byrne, sated after his yawn, said with tear-washed eyes, And is that a fact? Decent, quiet man he is. I often saw him in here, and I never once saw him, you know, over the line.
God Almighty couldn't make him drunk, Nosey Flynn said firmly. Slips off when the fun gets too hot. Didn't you see him look at his watch? Ah, you weren't there. If you ask him to have a drink, first thing he does, he outs with the watch to see what he ought to imbibe. Declare to God he does.
There are some like that, Davy Byrne said.
He's a safe man, I'd say. He's not too bad, Nosey Flynn said, snuffling it up. He's been known to put his hands down, too, to help a fella. Give the devil his due. Old Bloom has his good points, but there's one thing he'll never do.
His hand scrawled a dry pen signature beside his grog. I know, Davy Byrne said.
Nothing in black and white,
Nosey Flynn said. Paddy Leonard and Bantam Lyons came in. Tom Rochford followed, a plaining hand on his claret waistcoat. Day, Mr. Byrne. Day, gentlemen. They paused at the counter. Who's standing? Paddy Leonard asked.
I'm sitting anyhow, Nosey Flynn answered.
Well, what'll it be? Paddy Leonard asked.
I'll take a stone ginger, Bantam Lyons said.
How much? Paddy Leonard cried. Since when, for God's sake? What's yours, Tom?
How was the main drainage?
Nosey Flynn asked, sipping. For answer, Tom Rochford pressed his hand to his breastbone and hiccuped.
Would I trouble you for a glass of fresh water, Mr. Byrne? He said.
Certainly, sir. Paddy Leonard eyed his ale-mates. Lord love a duck, he said. Look at what I'm standing drinks to. Cold water and ginger pop. Two fellas that would suck whiskey off a sore leg. He has some bloody horse up his sleeve for the gold cup. A dead snip.
Zinfandel, is it?
Nosey Flynn asked. Tom Rochford spilled powder from his twisted paper into the water set before him.
That cursed dyspepsia,
he said, before drinking. Bread soda is very good, Davy Byrne said. Tom Rochford nodded and drank.
Is it Zinfandel? Say nothing,
Bantam Lyons winked. I'm going to plunge 5 bob on my own. Tell us if you're worth your salt and be damned to you, Paddy Leonard said. Who gave it to you? Mr. Bloom, on his way out, raised 3 fingers in greeting.
So long,
Nosey Flynn said. The others turned.
That's the man now that gave it to me,
Bantam Lyons whispered. Phew, Paddy Leonard said with scorn. Mr. Byrne, sir, we'll take 2 of your small Jemisons after that, and a stone ginger, Davy Byrne added civilly. Aye, Paddy Leonard said. A sucking bottle for the baby. Mr. Bloom walked towards Dawson Street, his tongue brushing his teeth smooth. Something green it would have to be. Spinach, say. Then with those Rontgen Ray's searchlights you could... At Duke Lane, a ravenous terrier choked up a sick, knuckly cud on the cobblestones and lapped it with new zest. Surfeit, returned with thanks having fully digested the contents. First sweet, then savoury. Mr. Bloom coasted warily. Ruminants, his second course. Their upper jaw they move. Wonder if Tom Rochford will do anything with that invention of his. Wasting time explaining it to Flynn's mouth. Lean people, long mouths. Ought to be a hall or a place where inventors could go in and invent free. Of course, then you'd have all the cranks pestering. He hummed, prolonging in solemn echo the closes of the bars.
Don Giovanni, a cena teco, m'invitasti.
Feel better. Burgundy. Good pick-me-up. Who distilled first? Some chap in the blues. Dutch courage. That Kilkenny people in the National Library now, I must. Bare, clean clothes stools, waiting, in the window of William Miller, plumber, turned back his thoughts. They could. And watch it all the way down. Swallow a pin sometimes. Come out of the ribs years after. Two around the body, changing biliary duct, spleen-squirting liver, gastric juice, coils of intestines like pipes. But the poor buffer would have to stand all the time, with his insides entrails on show. Science.
A chain or take-o.
What does that take-o mean? Tonight, perhaps.
Don Giovanni, thou hast me invited to come to supper tonight. The rum, dum.
Doesn't go properly. Keys. 2 months, if I get Nanetti to. That'll be £2.10. About £2.08. 3 irons owes me. 2.11. Prescott's ad, 2.15. 5 guineas about. On the pig's back. Could buy one of those silk petticoats for Molly. Colour of her new garters. Today. Today. Not think. Tour the south, then. What about English watering places? Brighton, Margate, piers by moonlight. Her voice floating out. Those lovely seaside girls. Against John Long's, a drowsing loafer lounged in heavy thought, gnawing a crusted knuckle. Handy man wants job, small wages, will eat anything. Mr. Bloom turned at Gray's confectioner's window of unbought tarts, and passed the Reverend Thomas Kinnellan's bookstore. Why I left the Church of Rome. Bird's nest. Women run him. They said they used to give pauper children soup to change to Protestants in the time of the potato blight. Society over the way Papa went to for the conversion of poor Jews. Same bait. Why we left the Church of Rome? A blind stripling stood tapping on the curbstone with his slender cane. No tram in sight. Wants to cross. Do you want to cross? Mr. Bloom asked. The blind stripling did not answer. His wool face frowned weakly. He moved his head uncertainly. You're in Dawson Street, Mr. Bloom said. Molesworth Street is opposite. You want to cross? There's nothing in the way. The cane moved out trembling to the left. Mr. Bloom's eye followed its line and saw again the dyeworks van drawn up before Drago's, where I saw his brilliantine hair just when I was horse drooping, driver in John Long's, slaking his drought. There's a van there, Mr. Bloom said, but it's not moving. I'll see you across. Do you want to go to Molesworth Street?
Yes,
the stripling answered.
South Frederick Street.
Come, Mr. Bloom said. He touched the thin elbow gently, then took the limp, seeing hand to guide it forward. Say something to him. Better not do the condescending. They must trust what you tell them. Pass a common remark. The rain kept off. No answer. Stains on his coat. Slobbers his food, I suppose. Tastes all different for him. Have to be spoon-fed first. Like a child's hand, his hand. Like Millie's was. Sensitive. Sizing me up, I dare say, from my hand. Wonder if he has a name. Van, keep his cane clear of the horse's legs. Tired drudge, get his doze. That's right. Clear. Behind a bull, in front of a horse.
Thanks, sir.
Knows I'm a man. Voice. Right now, first turn to the left. The blind stripling tapped the curbstone and went on his way, drawing his cane back, feeling again. Mr. Bloom walked behind the eyeless feet, a flat-cut suit of herringbone tweed. Poor young fella. How on earth did he know that van was there? Must have felt it. See things in their foreheads, perhaps. Kind of sense of volume. Weight. Would he feel it if something was removed? Feel a gap? Queer idea of Dublin must have, tapping his way around by the stones. Could he walk in the beeline if he hadn't that cane? Bloodless, pious face, like a fella going in to be a priest. Penrose. That was that chap's name. Look at all the things they can learn to do. Read with their fingers, tune pianos. Or we are surprised they have any brains. Why we think a deformed person or a hunchback clever if he says something we might say? Of course, the other senses are more. Embroider, plait baskets, people ought to help. Work basket, I could buy Molly's birthday. Hate sewing. Might take an objection. Dark men, they call them. Sense of smell must be stronger, too. Smells on all sides, bunched together. Each person, too. Then the spring, the summer, smells, tastes. They say you can't taste wines with your eyes shut or a cold in the head. Also, smoke in the dark, they say, get no pleasure. And with the woman, for instance. More shameless, not seeing. That girl passing the Stuart Institution, head in the air. Look at me. I have them all on. Must be strange not to see her. Kind of a form in his mind's eye. The voice temperature, when he touches her with fingers, must almost see the lines, the curves. His hands on her hair, for instance. Say it was black, for instance. Good, we call it black. Then passing over her white skin. Different feel, perhaps. Feeling of white. Post office must answer. Fag today. Send her a postal order, 2 shillings, 1/2 crown. Accept my little present. Station is just here, too. Wait. Think over it. With a gentle finger, he felt ever so slowly the hair comb back above his ears. Again, fibres of fine, fine straw. Then gently, his finger felt the skin of his right cheek. Downy hair there, too. Not smooth enough. The belly is the smoothest. No one about. There he goes, into Frederick Street. Perhaps to Levenston's Dancing Academy piano. Might be settling my braces. Walking by Doran's public house, he slid his hand between waistcoat and trousers, and pulling aside his shirt gently, felt a slack fold of his belly. But I know it's whitey-yellow. Want to try in the dark to see. He withdrew his hand and pulled his dress, too. Poor fellow. Quite a boy. Terrible, really terrible. What dreams would he have, not seeing? Life a dream for him. Where is the justice being born that way? All those women and children, excursion, bean feast, burned and drowned in New York. Holocaust. Karma, they call that. Transmigration for sins you did in a past life. The reincarnation. Metempsychosis. Dear, dear, dear. Pity, of course. But somehow you can cotton onto them some way. Sir Frederick Faulkner, going into the Freemasons' Hall. Solemn as Troy. After his good lunch in Aylesford Terrace, old legal cronies cracking a magnum, tales of the bench and assizes, and annals of the Blue Coat School, I sentence him to 10 years. I suppose he turned up his nose at that stuff I drank. Vintage wine for them, the year marked on a dusty bottle. Has his own ideas of justice in the recorder's court. Well-meaning old man. Police charge sheets crammed with cases, get their percentage, manufacturing crime. Sends them to the right about. The devil on moneylenders gave Reuben Jay a great straw calling. Now, he's really what they call a dirty Jew. Power, those judges have. Crusty old topers in wigs, bare with a sore paw, and may the Lord have mercy on your soul. Hello, placard. Myris Bizarre. His Excellency the Lord Lieutenant, 16 today it is, in aid of funds for Messrs. Hospital. The Messiah was first given for that, yes, Handel. What about going out there? Bald's Bridge, drop in on keys. No, you sticking to him like a leech. Where am I welcome? Sure to know someone on the gate. Mr. Bloom came to Kildare Street. First I must library. Straw hat in sunlight. Tan shoes. Turned up trousers. It is. It is. His heart quopped softly. To the right. Museum. Goddesses. He swerved to the right. Is it? Almost certain. Won't look. Wine in my face. Why did I? Too heady. Yes, it is. The walk. Not see, not see. Get on. Making for the museum gate with long, windy strides, he lifted his eyes. Handsome building. Sir Thomas Dean designed. Not following me? Didn't see me, perhaps. Light in his eyes. The flutter of his breath came forth in short sighs. Quick, cold statues. Quiet there. Safe in a minute. No, didn't see me. After 2, just at the gate. My heart. His eyes beating, looked steadfastly at cream curves of stone. Sir Thomas Dean was the Greek architecture. Look for something. His hasty hand went quick into a pocket, took out, red unfolded, Agendath and Time. Where did I... busy looking for... He thrust back quickly, Agendath. Afternoon, she said. I'm looking for that. Yes, that. Trial pockets. Hanker. Freeman. Where did I... Ah, yes. Trousers. Purse. Potato. Where did I... Hurry. Walk quietly. Moment more. My heart. His hand, looking for the where did I put, found in his hip pocket soap. lotion. Have to call. Tepid paper. Stuck. Ah, soap there. Yes. Gate. Safe.
Urbane, to comfort them, the Quaker librarian purred.
And we have we not, those priceless pages of Wilhelm Meister, a great poet on a great brother poet. A hesitating soul, taking arms against a sea of troubles, torn by conflicting doubts, as one sees in real life.
He came a step, a syncopace forward, on neat's leather creaking, and a step backward, a syncopace on the solemn floor. A noiseless attendant, setting open the door but slightly, made him a noiseless beck.
"Directly,"
said he, creaking to go, albeit lingering.
The beautiful, ineffectual dreamer, who comes to grief against hard facts, one always feels that Goethe's judgments are so true, true in the larger analysis.
Twice creakingly analysis, he corantoed off. Bald, most zealous by the door, he gave his large ear all to the attendant's words, heard them, and was gone. Two left.
"Monsieur de la Palisse," Stephen sneered, "was alive 15 minutes before his death."
"Have you found those 6 brave medicals?"
John Egerton asked with elder's gall,
"to write Paradise Lost at your dictation. The sorrows of Satan, he calls it."
"Smile, smile, Cranley, smile. First he tickled her, then he patted her, then he passed the female catheter, for he was a medical, jolly old medi.
I feel you would need one more for Hamlet. 7 is dear to the mystic mind. The Shining 7, W.B. calls them."
Glitter-eyed, his rufous skull close to his green-capped desk lamp, sought the face, bearded, amid dark greener shadow, an olive, holy-eyed. He laughed low, a sizer's laugh of Trinity, unanswered. Orchestral Satan weeping many a rude, tears such as angels weep, Adelia Vea del Culfato Trombetta. He holds my follies hostage. Cranley's 11 true Wicklow men, to free their sire land. Gap-toothed Kathleen, her 4 beautiful green fields, the stranger in her house, and one more to hail him, Ave, Rabbi, the Tinahili 12. In the shadow of the glen he cooees for them. My soul's youth I gave him, night by night. Godspeed. Good hunting. Mulligan has my telegram. Folly. Persist.
Our young Irish bards, John Egerton censured, have yet to create a figure which the world will set beside Saxon Shakespeare's Hamlet, though I admire him, as old Ben did, on this side idolatry.
All these questions are purely academic. Russell oracled out of his shadow. I mean, whether Hamlet is Shakespeare or James I or Essex, clergymen's discussions of the historicity of Jesus, art has to reveal to us ideas, formless spiritual essences. The supreme question about a work of art is out of how deep a life does it spring. The painting of Gustave Moreau is the painting of ideas. The deepest poetry of Shelley, the words of Hamlet, bring our mind into contact with the eternal wisdom. Plato's world of ideas, all the rest is the speculation of schoolboys for schoolboys.
A.E. has been telling some Yankee interviewer, "Well, tarnation strike me. The schoolmen were schoolboys first," Stephen said super politely. "Aristotle was once Plato's schoolboy."
"And has remained so, one should hope," John Egerton sedately said. "One can see him, a model schoolboy, with his diploma under his arm."
He laughed again at the now smiling, bearded face. Formless, spiritual, Father, Word, and Holy Breath, All-Father, the Heavenly Man, Jesus Christos, Magician of the Beautiful, the Logos who suffers in us at every moment, this verily is that. I am the fire upon the altar. I am the sacrificial butter. Dunlop, Judge, the noblest Roman of them all, A.E. Arvel, the name ineffable, in heaven high, K.H. their master, whose identity is no secret to adepts. Brothers of the Great White Lodge, always watching to see if they can help. The Christ with the bride sister, moisture of light, born of an ensouled virgin, repentant Sophia, departed to the plain of Budai.
The life esoteric is not for ordinary person. O.P. must work off bad karma first. Mrs. Cooper Oakley once glimpsed our very illustrious sister H.P.P.'s elemental. Oh, fie, out haunt, beautiful. You naughtn't to look, missus, so you naughtn't when a lady's showing her elemental. Mr. Best entered, tall, young, mild, light. He bore in his hand, with grace, a notebook, new, large, clean, bright. That model schoolboy, Stephen said, would find Hamlet's musings about the afterlife of his princely soul, the improbable, insignificant, and undramatic monologue, as shallow as Plato's. John Eglinton, frowning, said, waxing wroth,
"Upon my word, it makes my blood boil to hear anyone compare Aristotle with Plato."
"Which of the two," Stephen asked, "would have banished me from his commonwealth?" "Unsheathe your dagger definitions. Hoarseness is the whatness of all horse. Streams of tendency and aeons they worship. God, noise in the street, very peripatetic. Space, what you damn well have to see. Through spaces smaller than red globules of man's blood, they creepy crawl after Blake's buttocks into eternity, of which this vegetable world is but a shadow. Hold to the now, the here, through which all future plunges to the past." Mr. Best came forward, amiable, towards his colleague.
"Haynes is gone," he said.
"Is he?
I was showing him Jubenville's book. He's quite enthusiastic, don't you know, about Hyde's Love Songs of Connacht. I couldn't bring him in to hear the discussion. He's gone to Gill's to buy it."
"Bound thee forth my booklet quick to greet the callous public. Writ, I ween, 'twas not my wish in lean, unlovely English."
"The peat smoke is going to his head,"
John Eglinton opined. "We feel in England, penitent thief, gone. I smoked his baccy, green twinkling stone, an emerald set in the ring of the sea."
"People do not know how dangerous love songs can be,"
the auric egg of Russell warned occultly.
"The movements which work revolutions in the world are born out of the dreams and visions in a peasant's heart on the hillside. For them the earth is not an exploitable ground, but the living mother. The rarefied air of the academy and the arena produce the six-shilling novel, the music hall song. France produces the finest flower of corruption in Mallarmé, but the desirable life is revealed only to the poor of heart, the life of Homer's Phaeacians."
From these words, Mr. Best turned an unoffending face to Stephen. "Mallarmé, don't you know," he said, "has written those wonderful prose poems Stephen McKenna used to read to me in Paris, the one about Hamlet. He says, 'Il se promène, lisant au livre de lui-même,' don't you know, reading the book of himself. He describes Hamlet given in a French town, don't you know, a provincial town. They advertised it." His free hand graciously wrote tiny signs in air. "Hamlet, ou le distrait, pièce de Shakespeare." He repeated to John Eglinton's new-gathered frown, "Pièce de Shakespeare, don't you know. It's so French, the French point of view. Hamlet, ooh, the absent-minded beggar," Stephen ended. John Eglinton laughed.
"Yes, I suppose it would be," he said. "Excellent people, no doubt, but distressingly short-sighted in some matters."
"Sumptuous and stagnant exaggeration of murder." "A debt's man of the soul, Robert Greene called him," Stephen said. "Not for nothing was he a butcher's son, wielding the sledded pole-axe and spitting in his palm. 9 lives are taken off for his father's one. Our father who art in purgatory, khaki Hamlets don't hesitate to shoot."